Medical disclaimer: the content you're about to listen to was created for the purpose of entertainment, education, and information only. It should not be considered medical advice. It reflects our opinions only.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today, we are going to talk about the proven way to fix acne scarring, part two. So welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going to talk more about what to do with your acne scars, specifically what to do if they're sunken in, also called atrophic, or if they're raised, which are also called hypertrophic, keloidal, or papular. The treatment is going to depend on which type of scar you have, including which type of atrophic scar. So if you missed part one, I really encourage you to go back and listen because we talked about the details of each scar type in that podcast. Before we get into the real meat of the podcast here, I want to put out a disclaimer. I am not a cosmetic dermatologist, and I don't have direct experience with these treatments, with the exception of treating raised scars. I will, however, do my best to share the key tips with you based upon what the medical literature says. Let's first talk about how to address the most common type of scarring, the atrophic or the sunken-in scars. In general, for all of these scars, the treatments are going to be procedural. For example, chemical peels, laser treatments, filler, or even surgery. So you really can't do anything significant at home for these atrophic acne scars. You're gonna need to visit a doctor for these treatments. You can do these treatments in isolation, so like chemical peels alone, but combining them, so like chemical peels plus filler, for example, or filler plus laser, oftentimes leads to better results. Just a very brief primer here about chemical peels and lasers. I'm going to mention some of this during the actual talk as we get further into it too, but just ever so briefly, there's technically three types of chemical peels. So it's either going to be superficial, medium, or deep. So the deeper you go, the more intense of a procedure it is in terms of the injury and the downtime, but also the more significant results that you're going to see. The downside about going deeper is that there's also greater risk of side effects, including things like infection, potential for scarring, also potential for changes in color on the skin. So in general, unfortunately, if you have darker skin, you really want to limit yourself more so to the superficial peels because the risk of these side effects otherwise is too high. So that's your little brief primer on chemical peels. The brief primer on lasers is this, okay? So there's basically a couple of different factors that you have to consider. So one, your laser treatment can either be ablative or non-ablative, okay? So what do these things mean? So an ablative laser is a deeper type of laser in that it's going to injure the top layer of the skin and the superficial part of the second layer of the skin, what's called the dermis, okay? So ablative lasers are creating a deeper injury and stimulating your body to generate collagen to basically heal itself and smoothen out the skin tone. Because they are deeper injuries, they are more likely to cause side effects like scarring and changes in color on the skin. Now, if it's a non-ablative laser, you're not going to have as intense of an injury. You're basically getting injury to the second layer of the skin while the top layer stays intact. So it's creating basically heat injury to the second layer of the skin, or what's called the dermis, again, with the goal of stimulating your body to make collagen, okay? So once again, to heal and basically tighten up the skin. Because these injuries from the non-ablative lasers are less intense, you are going to have less downtime from non-ablative lasers, but also not as significant as results as if you had an ablative laser treatment. So if you're going to try to get more benefit from a non-ablative treatment, you have to have more of them. Now, that being said, they tend to be better options for darker skin patients, again, because there's less injury going on. Now, in addition to talking about either ablative or non-ablative lasers, you can talk about fractionated or unfractionated. So a fractionated laser is one that creates tiny little pores of damage, if you will, or columns of damage, and then leaves columns of intact normal skin between those zones of damage. Why is a fractionated laser a good option potentially? Because you're leaving these zones of healthy skin to stimulate healing of the injured areas. I hope all that makes sense and is helpful moving forward as we go through this talk. Now, one other thing I just want to briefly mention, if you've recently taken a course of isotretinoin or Accutane treatment for your acne, As many of you might have already done or recently done, because obviously we were wanting to clear up the acne so that we can then treat your scars, you may have heard that you have to delay these procedures for at least 6 months until after your treatment course. So this is historically something that was recommended by dermatologists because of evidence that isotretinoin can affect healing. But this was based on only a few small studies from years ago. A systematic review in JAMA Dermatology in 2017 looked at the evidence, and the consensus was that only two procedures actually needed to be laid, and those include mechanical dermabrasion and ablative laser treatments. I still would recommend that you discuss your recent isotretinoin course with your doctor so that they're aware. So if your scars are very mild, regardless of the type, you can either use superficial chemical peels or lasers like the diode laser. So salicylic acid peels are a superficial peel that help decrease darkness on the skin and can help with early scarring, basically by making your skin peel. They can also help treat acne if you still have some activity. These are typically done every 3 to 4 weeks for 3 to 5 sessions. Glycolic acid peels can also be helpful if done at concentrations of 10 to 30% every 2 weeks. Both of these peels are safe in darker skin types, but salicylic acid peels are the safest option. All right, so now let's talk about what to do if you have ice pick scars. So if you have ice pick scarring, treatments often address each individual scar rather than your face as a whole. This is because the deep nature of these scars makes it difficult for ablative lasers, again, the more intense laser that injures both layers, or superficial or medium depth chemical peels to address these scars. So full face deep chemical peels usually are not done or performed because these have a very high risk of color change and scarring. So how do you address each specific scar? So there's actually a few ways. Focus versions of deep chemical peels, focus versions of lasers, or even surgery-based methods. So we're going to start with the focus chemical peels. This is called TCA Cross. So TCA, because it's named after the chemical peeling agent trichloroacetic acid, and Cross because it stands for a chemical reconstruction of skin scars. In this technique, the dermatologist or plastic surgeon uses a sharpened wooden stick. I know, doesn't this sound so fancy? They use a sharpened wooden stick to apply TCA, that chemical peeling agent, to the inside of your ice pick scars. What this does is it breaks down the top two layers of the skin so that it stimulates your body to respond to this injury by making new collagen and elastin so that it fills in that scar. As ghetto as this sounds, this procedure actually can work really well. Most patients are satisfied with the results, but results are actually going to be better if you have multiple treatments, so as many as 6 according to this study, and with higher strengths of the TCA peeling agent itself. Potential risks include things like redness or darkness of the skin that unfortunately can last up to 6 months after the procedure, pain, infection, and unfortunately worsening scarring, potentially, and that can happen if the peeling agent gets applied beyond the acne scar. There have been studies specifically looking at whether or not dark-skinned patients respond equally as well, or if that's actually a reasonable option for them. And because the treatment is so focused, overall it actually does appear to be safe. One study looking at East Asians found no significant color changes or scarring following the TCA Cross technique. There's also a variant called Phenol Cross, which is based on the chemical peeling agent phenol, and this has been shown to similarly be effective. Here we go. So other options here, superficial and medium depth chemical peels can also help with ice pick scars. They're not going to be as useful as with other types of scars though. That being said, one study showed improvement in ice pick scarring using glycolic acid peels in 44 Indian patients. Another study showed up to 53% improvement after 3 sessions of a medium depth peel called Jessner's TCA peel. In general, the deeper the peel, the higher the risk of color changes and scarring, particularly for darker skin types. But again, remember, the deeper the peel, in general, you're also going to see better results. A laser-based treatment called CO2 pinpoint laser irradiation technique might actually work better than the TCA cross technique. This technique is basically going to cause really small or microscopic heat injury to the skin, and that is again stimulating the body to make more collagen to fill in the scars. One study looking at 32 patients, half of which received CO2 pinpoint laser and half of which received TCA cross every 3 weeks for 4 sessions, found better results at 3 months of follow-up with the laser treatment. Further, the laser treatment was overall safe. What about other lasers? Well, these can potentially help with ice pick scars too, though perhaps not as much with this type of scar compared to other atrophic acne scars. So a study looking at fractional erbium doped glass, which is a non-ablative laser, only allowed 26% improvement in ice pick scars after 4 sessions. So this is in comparison to the other types of scars like boxcar scars and rolling scars, which improved by 53% and 43%. So remember, here we're talking about a fractional non-ablative laser. So we're talking about one that's creating zones or micro channels of injury so that the normal columns of skin between the injury can help the skin heal. And we're also talking about one that's non-ablative, so it's not going to injure the top layer of the skin, okay? Only the second layer called the dermis. Now, if your ice pick scars are very deep, these can be surgically removed. Specifically, they can be removed with what's called a punch biopsy. So some of you might have had one of these done before in dermatology clinic. I don't know, say for example, you had a rash or something called a dermatofibroma. If not, no problem. I usually liken this to a cookie cutter. So essentially, think of like a cylindrical cookie cutter or even like a round cookie cutter that you're making holiday cookies with. So it's a small version of that, and they use it to punch biopsy literally that small scar area of the skin, and then they stitch up your skin, okay? They bring it back together in a nice pretty, with a nice pretty suture, and then it heals over. So that covers ice pick scarring. Next, we're gonna move on to boxcar scars. So again, these are those really deep ones that like square-like or rectangular edges. So like ice pick scars, chemical peels can help here. So here we're talking about like a full face chemical peel though. We're not talking about spot treatment. And again, remember from the very beginning, there are 3 different levels of depth. So you can have either superficial, medium, or deep. And once again, if you have a deeper peel, the more likely you're going to see even more improvement. But again, they're going to carry more risks like infection, color changes, or even scarring. So because of this, if you have darker skin, even though you would respond better if you have deep rolling scars to a deeper peel, you are better off choosing something safer for your skin type like glycolic acid or TCA peels. There are a number of other peels that can be used, especially if you have lighter skin. So these include modification of TCA peels, where they basically modify the chemical ingredients, high-strength salicylic acid or glycolic acid peels, or even a deep peel called a phenol peel. The scary thing with phenol peels is that they actually can affect your heart rhythm, so that does require pretty close monitoring if you have one of those done. If your boxcar scars are very superficial, then you actually can get away with using fillers. So technically speaking, interestingly, there's only 1 type of filler that's actually approved to help treat acne scars when it comes to restoring that volume. And that's one called Belafil or polymethyl methacrylate. So what's so interesting is though, that even though this is the only one that's technically approved to treat atrophic acne scars, it's actually not commonly used, even though it gives really good results. So like, for example, more than 90% of people are satisfied after 1 injection. Now, why isn't actually used? For a couple reasons. Really, one, it carries the risk of causing a persistent bump underneath the skin that is really hard to get rid of. The second reason is that unfortunately people do have a risk of having an allergy to it, and that's because it's made out of bovine collagen. So if you were to go this route, you actually need to have a test spot like 2 to 3 weeks before you actually have the true procedure done. Luckily, your options are not limited to this filler. They actually use a number of other filler agents off-label. These include hydroxyapatite, so this is called Radiesse, another one called Sculptra or polyl-lactic acid, or even hyaluronic acid fillers. So these include things like Belotero and Restylane. So these work by stimulating our body to make more collagen to fill in the scars. Okay, so again, this is like the common theme with all these treatments, right? Lasers cause an injury, then they stimulate your body to heal in the injury, right? By creating more collagen. So here, we're once again stimulating your body to make more collagen, but they're also replacing volume that was lost in that space too. How many injections you're gonna need and how long it's gonna last, it varies. So it's all dependent on what kind of filler you're getting. So for example, polyl-lactic acid or Sculptra may need to be injected every 4 weeks for 3 to 7 sessions, Radiesse typically lasts 12 to 18 months. And Sculptra is going to last 1 to 2 years once you get the number of sessions done that you actually need. The hyaluronic acid fillers don't last quite as long though, so they're only going to last between 6 to 12 months. So should you go this route, how much are you going to improve? Unfortunately, I don't see hard numbers for most of these fillers, but for Sculptra, if you combine it with fractional CO2 laser, which is again that intense kind of laser, right, that's injuring the top and the second layers of the skin, one study saw 33% improvement in the color, contour, and the degree of sunkenness in the scar within 3 months. In general, it seems like your results with filler are going to be better if you combine it with laser treatments or radiofrequency treatments. So that's a new thing I haven't mentioned yet. So that brings us to radiofrequency treatments. Now, what are these? So they're basically going to use radio waves or electrical energy to generate heat underneath the skin. So once again, they're hitting the same heat point here, the same theme. We're creating a controlled injury that stimulates your body to make more collagen and elastin to even out the skin tone and tighten the skin's appearance. You can have the treatment done with normal electrodes, or you can combine it with microneedling. And a lot of you might have heard of that too before. Microneedling is basically creating tiny zones of damage to the skin that's going to stimulate collagen and elastin production. So these treatments actually can work quite well. One study showed similar results as CO2 lasers, again, the intense kind of laser, where we're injuring top and bottom layer of the skin, and erbium lasers, while another one showed that if combined with microneedling, the results are as good as with ablative fractional lasers, which are, again, are the lasers that injure the top layer of the skin and the superficial part of the second layer of the skin. So why would you get a radio frequency treatment over a laser if they're similarly as effective? Well, the risk here is lower, especially if you have darker skin. So they are less likely to cause issues with scarring and color changes in the skin. And interestingly, they require less downtime. With boxcar scars, laser treatments are also an option though, clearly, as I just mentioned in this last segment. As I already mentioned, either you can have the non-ablative laser or you can have an ablative laser. Further, you can choose one that's either fractionated or non-fractionated. So again, remember, in general, those that are non-ablative have fewer side effects, are less painful, less likely to cause color changes after the procedure, and require less downtime, with redness resolving oftentimes within 1 week. So what are your options when it comes to non-ablative lasers? These are things like erbium glass, ND-YAG, diode lasers, and picosecond alexandrite lasers. At least one study showed as much as 52% improvement in boxcar scars with erbium glass, but you may need more treatments with these than you would with the ablative lasers. The study mentioned above with erbium glass required 4 sessions, whereas another study noted that 4 to 6 treatments every month is needed to get the best result. Now, what about your ablative laser options? So the most common ones that are used here to treat atrophic acne scars are fractional CO2 and fractional erbium YAG. How to choose between these two? It's really in part going to depend on how deep your scars are or how much downtime you're willing to have. If you have shallower scars or want a faster recovery, then you should choose the erbium YAG because it's going to allow for these things as compared to a CO2 laser, with the redness and crusting only lasting for 3 to 5 days. The risks are fewer, including less risk of pigment changes. Just like with ice pick scars, more surgical-based methods are options for boxcar scars. Now, which one you're going to choose may in part depend on how deep your boxcar scars are. If they're super deep, then punch excision, like with the deep ice pick scars, might be a good option. These are better for the ones that do not have a big diameter, so ideally the diameter would be less than half the size of a pencil eraser. Now, if your base of your boxcar scar is the same color as the surrounding skin, they can use the punch technique to do what's called punch elevation. So rather than actually remove that core of skin, they just simply pull it up and then they adhere it to the surrounding skin using like Steri-Strips or sometimes sutures. And then that allows that core skin to heal with the surrounding skin in a smooth way. Now, one final surgical technique that's used for boxcar scars that you don't typically use for ice pick scars is what's called subcision. So think of the scar as being tethered to the underlying skin, okay? So something is pulling it down. I mean, I guess you could even think of like the scar being a ton of balloons, and then the tether is the ribbon that's attached to the balloons. Okay. So what's happening here is they numb up the scar, they take a needle and they insert it underneath the skin and they use it to break up that tether. Okay. So literally like sawing or cutting that cord or the ribbon of balloons. That then frees the scar, and then having created that injury underneath the skin, stimulates your body again to make collagen, fill in that space, and create a more tight and smooth skin appearance. This technique, subcision, is actually incredibly effective. One study found 50 to 60% improvement in scarring 6 months after only one treatment. That said, multiple treatments every 3 weeks are typically recommended. Risks here include bruising, cyst formation, infection, or unfortunately, even potentially worsening of the scar. All right, everyone, so now we're going to move on to rolling scars. There's a lot of overlap between treatment of rolling scars and boxcar scars. Unlike with boxcar scars, surgical methods like punch excision and punch elevation are not typically used, okay? So this is probably because they are broader, right? Subcision can sometimes be helpful for rolling scars, though. Otherwise, filler, including Sculptra, Radiesse, and hyaluronic acid are once again options here, especially if your rolling scars are very broad. Chemical peels like glycolic acid and TCA peels can be helpful, especially if you're darker skinned. Radiofrequency treatments are also a good option, once again, if you have darker skin, as they don't tend to cause scarring or discoloration of the skin. Lasers are also a good choice here, with the ablative lasers like CO2 and erbium YAG, allowing for more benefit with fewer treatments, although with higher risk of post-treatment color change and scarring. The non-ablative lasers, so again, like the less aggressive ones, like erbium glass and diode, are likely better choices if you have darker skin, although be aware, as I mentioned before, if you choose these, you're going to need to have more treatments because of the less intense injury generated by these. One final note, some of you may have heard of dermabrasion. So this is where they either take a piece of sandpaper and literally like sand down your skin to be an even tone, or they use a motorized handpick to even out the skin tone. This technique is oftentimes helpful to help revise scars. So now you're more aware of the treatment options if you have atrophic scars. So how do you go about getting these treatments? Honestly, I highly recommend you go consult with an experienced cosmetic dermatologist or a plastic surgeon. I would not recommend going to a medi spa. You want to see someone who's extremely experienced in these areas so that one, they can tell you what is going to work best for you based upon what your skin looks like, and two, they're actually going to be able to help you get the best results and minimize your risk of side effects. Finally, please realize these options are probably not going to be covered by your insurance. I'm honestly not sure the pricing because I don't perform these procedures myself, but if you're unhappy with your scarring and your acne is controlled, I encourage you, please just go at least consult with one of these providers. They are really going to be able to offer you help, and it can at least give you a sense as to what would work for you within your price range. You can also buy superficial peels and washes online. So for example, Obagi Blue Brilliance, which has salicylic acid, glycolic acid, and lactic acid, is readily orderable if you go online. Will it help you? You know, I suspect you may see some benefit if you have mild scarring, though these are most likely low-strength peels. Unfortunately, the labeling does not give percents, and thus I can't actually tell you. Because of this, the results are less likely to be significant. Thus, a better bang for your buck would be to just consult with a professional. What about papular or hypertrophic and keloidal scars? We've spent a ton of time talking about the sunken in ones, but what about the raised ones, the pucci-outy ones? What do we do about these? Although less common, some of us do develop these raised scars. As I mentioned in part one, these are not only unsightly, but they can often hurt and even itch, making them even worse. They're more common on the back, shoulders, and chest due to the tension in these areas. And for these, in general, the best option is to have them injected with a steroid by your dermatologist. The steroid injections can help flatten them out, and actually it helps reduce symptoms you might be having too. Risks include skin sinking in rather than pooching out, called atrophy, and lightening or darkening of the skin. Just like with most of these treatments that I've mentioned above, often more than one round of injections or treatments is needed. So typically speaking, what we do is we bring people back after one round of injections every 4 to 6 weeks. So we bring you back in 4 to 6 weeks, we reassess. Let's say your scar is a little bit better, but it's not completely better. Then we will repeat another round of injections, but we may adjust the strength of the steroid. Okay, so we do this every 4 to 6 weeks until the scar is improved and your symptoms have dissipated. Of note, here, You actually can consult with your general dermatologist. They should readily be able to be helping you with this. And fortunately, your insurance probably will cover these treatments. All right, everyone. Well, congratulations. You did it. You listened to the whole thing and you got all the spiel about what to do about your acne scars. I know this is really detailed and nuanced. I really wanted to make sure that we covered all of the potential options, though, so that you're aware of what your options are if you're unhappy with how your skin looks now that your acne is clear. If you need to, feel free to go back and listen to it more than once. Really hammer in these key concepts. If you have any questions or comments, remember you can always DM us or go on our website, mdcrafted.co. Thanks so much for listening and see you next time.
If you enjoyed what you just heard, please take 10 seconds, leave us a review, leave us a rating, and leave a comment on whatever podcast platform you listen to us through. Every time you engage with our work, you give the algorithm a reason to boost our podcast's ranking so that we can engage with more listeners like you. Thank you.